It's been really good. It's interesting. Thank you for that about the crown of thorns. So if it was more of a helmet, it would have been more superficially, it wouldn't have been deep. See, because physiologically, your brain cells have no pain sensors. The pain sensors are in the lamina dura, below the skin, in the skull area. So all those things hit every pain receptor in his head. Because by his stripes, we're healed of all our pains. Amen? Yeah, that's good. Sorry, a little anatomy comes out every now and then. Hallelujah. Mary, if you want to pass out the sermon, that'd be great. Thank you, Cheryl, for reminding me of something I said. What's it going to take, church? I don't know if I'll continue this message or not, but what's it going to take? What's it going to take for the Church of Jesus Christ to walk in the fire and the anointings that we have been given? What's it going to take for us to do the signs and the wonders and the miracles that God has charged us to do? What's it going to take to win the world to Jesus? What's it going to take? What kind of boot? Let me do that one more time in case you didn't see it. What kind of boot is it going to take to get us moving, to do what it takes? Each and every day. Each and every day. Yeah, there's fresh anointings. I love fresh anointings. I'm so thankful for them. And I believe God has given us a little boot encouragement today to do what it takes. I don't have to preach. You know what to do. You know what it takes. Most of you have been very mature Christians for years and had a lot of teachings and continue to teach. And the one thing that I really appreciate about this congregation is you guys are really hungry, and I'm thankful for that. Don't ever not be hungry. When you lose your hunger, you backslide. Let me say that one more time. When you lose your hunger, you backslide. So don't lose your hunger. Keep hungry. Stay hungry. Thank you. Yeah. Stay thirsty, stay hungry. Yeah. The planet needs us. Our geographical areas that we've been planted in need us. The situations that we're planted in need us. Because they need Jesus. Amen? So let's go into the message called Jesus Is. This is number two. Last week, I talked about John chapter 14, verse 6, which you all should know. Jesus says, I am. What's the I am? Who is the I am? Come on. El Shaddai, God who is more than enough. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So you can rephrase that and still preach truth. Jesus says, I am the way to the Father. I am the way to life. I am the way to truth. And you do it. You come to the Father through me. Hallelujah. So this week, I picked up the Gospel of Matthew, and I was touched by Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. It's a really, really long verse. Really long. It's only three tiny lines long. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Now, what's significant about that? That is the first verse in the New Testament. There's a reason why the writers put Matthew first. And there could be a lot of answers to that, but I'm not getting into the theology of that. I got other things I want to get to. But the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Why did Matthew... I asked these questions of God, and the Spirit of God said, why did you pick those two people? Why did you label Jesus the son of David? Why did you label him the son of Abraham? So let's look at the son of David. We know that David was recognized as the greatest king of Israel. But there was one king coming greater than. Amen? King Jesus. And when we think about what Matthew was trying to emphasize, was to understand the kingship of Jesus. Even to the point when Herod wanted to find this child that was coming. And he asked the question, where is the king of the Jews? So Herod asked, where is the king of the Jews when he was just an infant? Because the world was changing. When Jesus came to the planet, there was a shift in the spirit. And certain people picked up on that. I believe Herod picked up on that. He knew there was a shift. There was a change coming. Somebody bigger than him was born. Where is this king of the Jews? You know why he asked that? Because he wanted to kill it. Right? Tell me if I'm preaching the truth or not. And the next person that said that was Pilate. He asked Jesus point blank, are you the king of the Jews? Why? Because there was a greater one than Pilate in front of him. Right? And then, what was on the sign of the cross? King of the Jews. So the purpose of Jesus Christ being labeled as the son of David first is he is, first of all, king. I think it's interesting, too, that in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, it says that when Jesus is coming back, he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, so you can get a picture of this. What's Jesus coming back on? Huh?
Come on.
So Jesus, a good rabbi, right? He would wear his rabbinical rabbinical tallit, and when you're sitting down, where's the tallit go? We're just sitting on your thigh. On that tallit was written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why it says on his thigh. And I think it's really interesting that both Mary and Joseph were descendants of King David. Come on. Some good stuff in here. And on his robe was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What are we worried about? Why do we worry? I'd love to say the phrase that's been said many times over and over and over, but yes, God really has this in his hand, right? He's really got this. He's in charge of all this, right? Hallelujah. And going back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, where it says he was the son of David, he was also the son of Abraham. Why the son of Abraham? Come on. I have taught in this house many, many, many sermons on Abraham. Because Abraham is the father of, thank you, say it again, he is the father of faith. Okay? Because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. And they that come to him must believe that he is the I am, the son of David, the son of Abraham, that he is, and he is. And he is the rewarder of those who diligently, everyone say diligent, diligently seek him. Jesus, Matthew 1:1. Jesus, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Jesus did it by faith too. His faith was perfect. He knew what was going to happen. But the seed of Abraham also, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, the purpose of Abraham being mentioned there was, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Everyone say, I am blessed because of believing Abraham. Not us believing in him, but Abraham being the believer. Okay? All right, now, I saw a map the other day to the Middle East. And here's the Middle East. Here's Israel, and Iran, and Iraq, and Saudi Arabia, yada, 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 yada. I mean, mega, mega miles. And here's Israel. Do you think Israel is in the palm of God's hand? Absolutely. There isn't a rocket that's been formed. There hasn't been a weapon that's been placed. There hasn't been a drone that's been made that can pierce what God has protected Israel with. It is the place where Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for his church that's empty and powerless. Come on, straighten me out. He's coming back for a church that's full of his glory and his power. I don't know about you. Let's go up to the next level. Thank you. So, last week we talked about Jesus is the Messiah. And I just thought you'd like to know what the Hebrew for Messiah is. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus HaMashiach, or HaMashiach, however you want to pronounce it. I don't know. I just love pronouncing that. Little side thing. All right. So, Jesus is Emmanuel. You know, it's interesting. I've got Emmanuel there written with a capital letter E. And as we read Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And I heard about a pastor years ago that preached an entire message on whether it was right to have an E or an I in front of Emmanuel. Give me a break. It means that God is with us. His presence goes ahead of us. His presence envelopes us. And his presence is behind us. Let me say that again. God goes ahead of us. His presence is around us. And his presence is behind us. God is the ever-flowing presence of the living God around us. Hallelujah. He said He'd never leave us and never forsake us. It kind of brings a fresh anointing to Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow, the anointing of Almighty God. I will say of the Lord, You're my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I put my trust. Surely we'll be delivered from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence, and under his wings we shall be covered. Hallelujah. Come on. Just walk under that shadow. Oh, yeah, just walk in his shadow. Yeah. Whew. Hallelujah. He'll cover thee with your feather, with his feathers, and under his wings you'll trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. We will not be afraid. Everyone say, I'm not afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 will fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Hallelujah. Are you worried about drones? Are you worried about nuclear weapons? Are you worried about any of that? No, because it says, they shall not come near thee. Hallelujah. Come on, let's trust God. Let's believe God. And this baloney that is still going on the planet that starts with the letter V, I curse that in Jesus' name. V-I-R-U-S. C-V-R. Okay? I curse that in Jesus' name. It just wanted to kill some people off. Can I say that? 1,000 will fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, and it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes will you see, behold, the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High God, your dwelling place. Where's your dwelling place, church, today? Those who are listening by recording, where's your dwelling place? Where do you dwell? Where do you love to be? Yeah. You know what I do on my day off? I get ready for today. Because I love the dwelling place of God. I give up for that. I love that. The dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. There shall no evil befall thee. Verse 10. If you got it, Larry. You need to believe for this, church. Ron and Marianne, when you go south, you need to believe for this. Joe, when you go, you need to believe for this. When you, the rest of you, get up tomorrow morning and you're going somewhere, you need to believe for this. I saw a car that a young man from Silver Creek had a little wrestling match with a deer on the road. Put anything left of the car. It was completely, it was obliterated. He walked away from it. And I can't wait sometime to see him and ask him, did you see any angels? Come on. Come on. Come on. We can trust. Yeah. Yeah, we can trust. Hallelujah. No plague. No plague. No virus. No bacteria. No bug on a planet come near this dwelling. No matter what's unleashed. Because, verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over us to keep us in all of the ways. What's he doing? He gives his angels charge. He says, there, you go protect Bill where he's at. And you protect these guys when they go day to day today. And you protect everybody wherever you go. He will give his angels charge. He says, you go and protect them. Every day, every step, every place you go. Every step you go. I stood on that 4 years ago. I stood on that. I'm still standing. Hallelujah. Give his angels charge concerning you to keep you in all your ways. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the son of David and the son of Abraham. And Matthew's also, as Matthew had a tendency to use his gospel to preach to the Jews, he also called Jesus the bridegroom. And I had heard this years ago, but I was really refreshed my memory because the church is called Bride of Christ, right? Now, it's interesting, as he called us the betrothed one, when a Jewish man and a Jewish woman were betrothed, it was a legal document as we legally get married. And what happened after that was the husband would leave his wife and he would go and prepare their home. He would build a home or get a home or whatever, but he'd go and make sure that the home was ready. It was, pardon me, men, but it wasn't the woman that went and got the home. It was the man as a betrothed. And then they were married after that. That's why Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place as the betrothed bridegroom of the church, the bride. I don't know about you, but I got wired up over that revelation. Hallelujah. I go to prepare a place for you. And I love that. And another aspect of Jesus is, and the sonship, in Matthew 2:15, last verse on your outline. And there was, until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled. Remember that Herod wanted to kill him. And so what did they do? What did Joseph and Mary do with Jesus? Where'd he go? They went to Egypt. So you want to go back to Egypt? Huh? And that's off the subject. And there was until the death of Herod that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, through the prophet Hosea. It's not in there, but that's who prophesied it. Out of Egypt I called my son. 300 some prophecies confirmed about Jesus being the son of the living God. And here's one of them. In Hosea chapter 11, it said, I've called him out of Egypt. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool how they had to take refuge in Egypt, and then when Herod was dead, he called him out of Egypt. Remember the statistical chances of 300 some prophecies being fulfilled is an astronomical number. Mathematicians say it's 1 × 10^157 chance of all these prophecies coming to pass. That's a whole lot of zeros. So I leave you with those thoughts today. And we need to be challenged to let the world know that Jesus is King. He's the Father of faith, and He's the King of our hearts. Let's stand. Come on in, Lord. Come on in, Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Come on in. Continue to come on in, greater measure. Come on in. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome a fresh wind, a fresh fire, and a fresh spirit. We welcome a fresh wind, a fresh fire, and a fresh spirit. If you're here today and you feel like maybe you've lost a little fire, well, ask for a fresh fire. Let's say you're here and you know you should get your mind in the scripture a little bit more. Then let's have a the Lord blow a fresh wind over the Scriptures to us. Yeah, fresh wind. A fresh wind and a fresh fire, a fresh spirit into our lives today, Lord. Lord, we're the church. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're the church of the living God. We're the church that's full of His glory. Let's be that church to a lost and a dying world. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. But man, we're going to heaven on a cloud. We need to take everybody with us we can. So Lord, a fresh anointing on our lives today. Hallelujah. Fresh wind, a fresh fire, and a fresh spirit. Hallelujah. 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 So, Father, seal the work that You've done here today in our lives. Jesus is everything. Seal it in Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And we're going to get ready and have a feast. Amen.